This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعلى المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد اليوم 26 من شهر ربيع الأول 1445 الموافق ل 12 من شهر أكتوبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last week and if I'm not wrong we talk about the first ayat, five ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning of this affair of the religion. And this is the beginning of the suratu al-alaq. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. After this reminder about the importance of knowledge, and also I guess we talk about the brief history of how everything begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kalla innal insana layatgha arraahu istaghna." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innal insana layatgha." Allah says, verily, human beings, from time to time, they will be influenced by arrogance. And this arrogance is happening to them because of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestowed them of the rizq. Arrahu istaghna. So ghina is one of the causes of arrogance. And it shouldn't be in this way. Yeah, because a person should understand that the source of the rizq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather than becoming arrogant, a person should appreciate and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increase his righteousness and his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, throughout the history, wealth have been, you know, the means of destruction to so many people. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about one of his blessings upon us, that he measure when he gives things. He says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعْبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his infinite mercy, imagine that it doesn't give people just like that. Allah major, what to give this person, what is appropriate for this person, what is not appropriate for this person. If you need the wall, you see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the rizq bi qadr. And wallahi, this is, you know, subhanAllah, a great blessing for us, because there are many people who will be distracted because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. If they are so rich, that will not be the means of appreciation and coming back to Allah, but it would distract them from Allah. Surah Al-Kahf, somewhere around the middle of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about those two brothers, right? The rich person was saying, because of his richness, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. He said, I don't even believe that the day of judgment is coming. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلِبًا. He said, I don't even believe that the day of judgment is going to happen. Why is he saying this? Because of the richness. He thinks that this richness is going to grant him, you know, a long life which has no end. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ خَلَدَ. He thinks that his wealth is going to grant him more life, an ability to live longer without ending. So this man is saying, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And subhanAllah, أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْغُرُورِ. He says, وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. And in case it is true that we're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even there I will be better than you. He's talking to his friend. So that's wealth. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us a lot concerning this matter. And he told us to look from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which will not distract us from him. He says, مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَأْ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَا. That little amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an individual, that is enough for him. الكفار, that is enough for him to address his need. You need food, you need education, you need health, you know. You're rich, but alhamdulillah, that which you have is enough for you to address your need. As long as it doesn't distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is far greater than having huge amount that will cause you to detach yourself from the religious practices. You Allah. Many in our life became so arrogant after becoming rich. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding every one of us that since this life is temporary, we are not meant to stay here forever, then we should aim for that which will add value to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in wealth. Wealth is not evil. Wealth is not evil. If it is an evil, then Sharia will not make it as will not make it preservation as an objective. The scholars, when they talk about the maqasid al-Sharia, one of them is the preservation of wealth. Yeah, preservation of wealth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعَ. One of these four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about them on the Day of Judgment, how did you deal with them? Is the wealth. How did you get it? And how did you spend it? And these are the root of the iqtisad al-Islami. Good spending and good earning. Making sure that you get it from the halal source and you spend it in the halal way without israf or tabdhir. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala required from you. And if this is the case, we have a system to govern this, that means wealth is not evil in itself. But the behavior of those people who are looking for the money will make that money that a person is getting different from the norm. So a person is okay. I mean, it's okay for a person Islamically to become rich, actually so rich. If it is possible, we need to have the richest person on earth be the Muslims. Yeah, because the positions you might get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the poor person might not get it. Although those poor people might go to paradise, as the hadith mentioned, in Isfiyom, before the rich people. But it doesn't mean that if this rich person comes to go to his paradise, it's going to be lower than the paradise of the poor person. No, it depends on the behavior and the attitude and the iman each and every one of them has. The scholar said, this rich person might be given a greater house if he utilizes his wealth in the proper way. Because he has a lot of advantages that the poor person doesn't have. They said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلِ الدُّثُورِ بِالْوُجُوءِ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the rich people, they're taking everything. So, well, you know, in their time, this is how it is. You know, there's no difference between the rich and the poor. Everyone is in the masjid, rushing to go and get that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a time when I become rich, then a person will start taking himself away from the ibadat, from the ta'at, you know, becoming so arrogant. People are afraid of approaching him, you know, and he thinks that he can do whatever he wants in this life. You know, in the past, it wasn't like that. The poor people they're watching, what is going on in the environment? Yeah, they come to the masjid together, they fast Ramadan together, they do all of these physical activities together with the rich ones, you know. But when it comes to giving charity, supporting, you know, any Islamic activities, only the rich ones are coming forward. And even if the poor person comes, he's going to give very little, you know. Although it has great value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when they see that which their brothers amongst the rich people are doing, they worry somehow, how come we don't get to do what they are doing? So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, Dhahaba ahlu dhuthuri bil ujur. They complained to him, Ya Rasulullah. They pray like us, they fast like us, they give charity, but we don't have something to give. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, you have what to give. They gave them a very simple concept to be applied. He said, do the tasbih, those tasbih that we do after the salawat, the tahmid and takbir, you know, and the tahleel in the end. So he said, do that one. You're going to reach them. So they started doing it in secret. Yeah, somebody released the information to the rich people. They also start doing it. And the poor people came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, somebody told him our secret. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What did he say? Did he call the rich people and tell them, come on, ittaqullah azza wa jalla, leave the... He did not call the rich people, because the religion is for everyone. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُوتِهِ وَيَشَاءُ. Now this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives it to whomsoever He wishes. So what I'm trying to say here, richness is not evil. To become rich is not evil. The physical richness, you get it? The spiritual richness, this one, only a few get it. And this is the real richness. This is the contentment of the heart, the inner satisfaction. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called richness. You have two types of richness, spiritual and the physical. The physical is given to anyone, kafir, Muslim, mu'min, taqi, fajr, everyone get. You might find kuffar getting more than us. You might find a bad person getting the physical risk more than the righteous person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَوْ لَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The kuffar, they, as usual, you know, everything is materialized, you know. They make everything to be maddi. So that's why even in the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they want it to be based on this capitalist kind of thinking. That rich has to be in front all the time. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the final messenger and the chosen one, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ حَيْثُ يَجْعَلُ رِسَالَتَ. Allah knows, you know, the best place to put the message. They know themselves, the Quraysh, and they're alike, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best in that community. They have never come across somebody like him in terms of manner, behavior, and everything. But since he came opposing their very existence, which is based on zulm and oppression, sucking the blood of others, and putting the weak element down, you know, to make him easy prey for the strong ones in the society. That's why they oppose Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have no issue with his quality. They have no issue with his behavior. So Abu Sufyan, when Hiraql was asking him about those questions, right? None of them was negative. All of them are according to the expectation of Hiraql. And he was giving him an excellent answer. You know, did he lie? Abu Sufyan said no. And Abu Sufyan was kafir at that time. Did he ever lie? No. Did he ever deceive? No. Did he ever cheat? No. Did he ever betray? No. Was there anyone amongst his family members who was a king? He says, no. You know, everything that Hiraql asked Abu Sufyan, and Abu Sufyan gave an answer, Hiraql will reply him. A very excellent reply. So all of those questions about the behavior, Hiraql will tell him, yeah, فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ لَا تَكْذِبْ فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ لَا تَكْذِبْ فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ, you know. He wants to compare with the information he has, you know, in the book, the Torah or Injil, you know, he wants to compare and see whether the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam matched those information, you know, and facts or not. And subhanAllah, he realized that precisely this is exactly what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned to them in the book. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meet those qualities. Unfortunately, dunya prevented him from accepting Islam. At first, you know, he shows acceptance. And if you follow the story, you can see sincerity at first. And he was scared. And he knows, you know. He told them that this is the one that they're waiting for. Qad dhahar. But subhanAllah, when the batariqa turned against him, you know, they decided to go out, you know, screaming, you know, that kind of disagreement when it happens, the kind of the sound somebody will be producing to show his dislikeness. They started doing, and Hiraql got scared of, and he already commanded somebody to close the door. So he called them back. He told them, actually, I was just trying to test your iman with your book. Yeah. And following the story, you understand that no, it wasn't. That because they turned against him, he was afraid of losing his kingdom, especially if the story of that Christian priest, the Pope in that time, if it is true that he was killed because he accepted the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the community killed. And you know, this religious entity is the most respected person in that community. If the community killed him because he accepted Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so Hiraql was making an analogy here. They respect him more than me. Me, they're just afraid of me because of my power and ability. And now even those people who are surrounding me, they are against me. And for sure they have influence in the army. It's very easy for me to get into trouble. So that's what some are saying. This is the reason why, wallahu alam, he was scared so much. And he told them, I was just trying to test your iman. So they made sujood for him. They made sujood, and then Imam Bukhari says this is the last thing about his issue. So some scholars think that he was hiding his iman like Najashi. Yeah. But Ibn Hajar, and he mentioned narration that dismantled this belief. But there are some scholars, they say, since Imam Bukhari put him in the Bab Lamal bin Niyat, they said maybe Imam Bukhari also amongst that, those scholars who says the affair of Hiraql is just we have to see Allahu Alam. And maybe he is hiding his iman. But the fact that he fought the Muslims after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that confirms that he is not among us, because Najashi did not fight us. Najashi did not fight us. He supported the Muslims. He had his iman until the time he died as a mu'min, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed for his janazah. So this is also one of the examples of how dunya is distracting people. How dunya is distracting people. So it's okay for a person to become rich, but honestly speaking, a person should be very careful. You should always look at wealth like what? As what? As a means, not as a goal. So I always say that do not let wealth get inside your heart, because it will not come back. Keep it at your hand. Control it and be moderate in your expenses, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do. But don't let it get inside. Otherwise, you'll not go out of it. Ibn Taymiyyah says, اجعل المال كالحمار أو الكنيف. He said, look at wealth like himar. You know, what is himar? أكرمكم الله, a donkey, right? Whenever you see a donkey with a person, that means this person is in need of it. People don't be proud of having donkeys. Yeah, we get it because of need. You get it? I will kanif. What is kanif? The bathroom, a place where people go, akramakum Allah, to relieve themselves. Why do you go there? Because of the need. So it's basically trying to tell you that wealth should always be with you as a means. Means to attain goals. Don't take it as a goal itself. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for you to give zakah and to give the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it, because the whole idea is to get money. You will never agree with a single cent to be wealth. You don't have any good purpose in getting wealth, then you're going to end up, you know, not being able to give the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. Hazm, in the first part of his book, Al-Akhlaq wa Siyar, he talks about these type of categories of people, you know. The one who is looking for money because of this, the one who is looking for money because of this. You know, the most interesting one is the one who is looking for money because of money. He said, لَمْ أَجِدْ لَهُ مَثِيلًا. He said, I couldn't find any similarity. You know, Ibn Qayyim is saying that if a person is looking for money because of this, he looks like this animal. If a person is looking for money because of this, he looks like this thing. When he came to Sahib, the last one, he said, this one, I couldn't find anything that looks like him in this life, except one type of tree. He said, this tree usually grows in a very harsh places on top of a mountain in the cave. Amakin al-Wa'ira, places where they're very harsh, very hard for a person to reach that place. He says, Ibn Hazm says, to my knowledge, nothing can reach that tree except one bird. And the moment that bird ate from it, that tree will become dry and perish. You can see how much stingy is that tree. You know, it goes to that place so that nobody can come and get any benefit from it. And if something managed to reach that place, it would just, it's like it kills itself, you know, out of anger that somebody reached me now. That's the example given by Ibn Hazm to address the nature of somebody who is looking for money for the sake of money, just to get rich. No, a Muslim doesn't have time for this. And wallah, I really advise you, don't you ever have time for this useless thinking. Everything you're doing in this life should be calculated properly. Why do you want what you're looking for? What is your plan? You know, don't just pick up life randomly. Yeah. Should have a plan in your life. Yeah, this is what I want to do. I'm planning to get this and that because of this, this and that. That's the life of a believer. Otherwise, you're going to regret from time to time. So this is how we should look at the wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَاهُ. The one who accepts Islam succeeds. If you're looking for the most successful person, look at that person who accepts Islam. You Allah, the greatest success and the greatest ni'mah is Islam. There is no ni'mah bigger than this. Yeah, that's why this is the only thing that cannot be compromised. You can compromise any dunya, but Islam, no. Cannot be compromised. Because if you compromise it, you're going to lose the loss, which you cannot rectify it at all. Abu Muhammad says, وَإِذَا دُعِيتَ لِبِدْعَةٍ أَوْ رِيبَةٍ فَهْرُبْ بِدِينِكَ آخِرَ الْبُلْدَانِ الدِّينُ رَأْسُ الْمَالِ فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِهِ فَضَيَعُهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْخُسْرَانِ. He says, if somebody invites you to anything that can tarnish the image of your religion, innovation, or anything that is doubtful which affects your religion, he said, run away from that place. Even if that will cause you to reach the last part of the world, it doesn't matter. Just go. You Allah, religion worth this. This is the most, or let me put it in the correct way, it should be the most sensitive issue in your life, religion. Yeah. You should tolerate hunger and life lost, but you shouldn't tolerate religious loss. To lose a religion, that's the greatest khasara. That's why he says, run away to protect your religion. As the Prophet advises, he says, in the days before the Day of Judgment, life is going to be tough for the believers. And he says, perhaps we're closer to a time whereby the best wealth of a believer is ghanam. You know, the person has his own sheep, is following and chasing the Atraf al-Jibal, trying to get the grace to feed his animals, meaning he just live with his animal in the forest. يَفِرُّ بِدِينِهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he will be doing that, run away with his religion from the fitna. So Abu Muhammad says, أَدِّينُ رَأْسُ الْمَالِ فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِهِ فَضَيَعُهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْخُسْرَانِ. He said, deen is رَأْسُ الْمَالِ. رَأْسُ الْمَالِ is the capital. You know, this is the most important element in a business, right? Yeah. Is a benchmark that you use as an indicator to see whether you profit or you lost, you know. And that's the most important thing in the business. He said, "Ad-din ra's al-mal, fadaya'uhu min a'zam al-khusran." Ay a'zam al-khusran. Losing the religion is the greatest khasara that somebody might encounter in this life. One of the righteous scholars said, "Ra's mal al-mu'min dinuhu." He loved this statement so much. He says, "Ra'su malil mu'min dinu." He said, the capital, you know, for a mu'min, you know, business capital for a mu'min is his religion. لا يأتمن عليه الرجال ولا يخلفه في الرحال. Subhanallah. He said he doesn't entrust anyone in his religion. You know, you can give your wealth for somebody to keep it for you. You can give your children, you can give your family for somebody to take care of them. You can give whatever you can give to somebody to take care of it, but not your religion. You can give your religion to somebody, you cannot. وَلَيْ خَلِّفُهُ فِي الرِّحَالِ. And then leave it at home and go out without it. That's how valuable is the religion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Islam, He grants a person kafaf. You know, that kafaf is a wealth that is enough for you to stop you from begging others. You know, you protect the image of your face and your honor and dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from stretching your hand to take help from others. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you contentment with that which He gave you. Yeah, this is another ni'mah, because you might get a lot of wealth, the physical wealth we are talking about, right? You might get it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the contentment from it. And in reality, even according to the definition of the kuffar, who are you? A poor person. Because a poor person is somebody who is in a state of need, always demanding. Many rich people, they don't get, you know, full, subhanAllah. Always in need. Always in need. That's why you can read from the faces of others as if this person is in need. He doesn't have anything, you know. No relax in their faces, because the heart is not at ease. That one is given to one person. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُنَارُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cannot be attained except through the righteousness. I guess it's clear, inshallah. So this is physical wealth. It's okay to become rich, but make sure that you look at the richness, you know, the wealth in this way. The second one is the most important one. This is the contentment, the spiritual one. Contentment and the iman, the tawakkul that Allah SWT put in the heart of a person. The inner satisfaction. You know, Allah SWT remove that huge desire of demanding from your heart. Wallahi, this is big ni'mah. It's big ni'mah. If you have this, this is really ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. Yeah, because this pushed us to do so many things that are wrong and put us into trouble, you know. From time to time you have stress, qalaq, blood pressure, and all of these things that come in, you know. And you go to the doctors, they don't have any sickness, you know. You're free from any illness. Yeah. What left is to check your heart. You Allah, what left is to check your heart and see the amount of the worry you have, the internal worry. Yeah, because sometimes if I look at him, I say, he's Farhan, inshallah, everyone's, yeah, he's Farhan, but internally, he's not. And sometimes, subhanAllah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salamat al-afiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might punish a person, even the internal one, you don't sense it. A person will feel that everything is okay. And it is not, you Allah, and it is not. So attach yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be with Allah all the time, and look for wealth, and don't behave like those predecessors who changed because of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Number one we are told about was, who is that? Number one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that was distracted because of his wealth? Qarun. Yeah. You know Qarun, right? Yeah. Allah says, Inna Qaruna min kana min qawmi Musa. Even the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the expression is like he's just an ordinary person, you know, from the people of Musa alayhi salam. فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِ. And he went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against the people and beyond all of his limitations. And why is he doing that? Because of the wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. وَآتِنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُؤُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ وَلِلْقُوَّةِ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Very simple nasiha. You know, look for the akhirah through that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. Yeah, that's what we should do. Use the wealth to look for the akhirah. Enjoy what you can enjoy as long as it is halal. It's wrong actually to have wealth and then you don't enjoy. No, you should enjoy. Allah wants to see the sign of this ni'mah on you. Yeah, you should enjoy. You shouldn't have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then at the same time you live harsh life. This is lack of appreciation. No, you should enjoy the halal and also do the tawsi'ah for your family. You're so rich, then your wife has to suffer. You know, other people are benefiting from that wealth, or you don't spend on anyone, and your family, your children have to suffer. No. As long as you don't, go beyond the limit, you don't do israf, no tabdhir, it's okay for you to enjoy. But at the same time, use that wealth also to earn the akhirah, to support and benefit the community. So Qarun doesn't want to listen, you know, and he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. You know, I like reading this verse because Allah told him, when he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي, what you see me having, it's just based on my skills and my knowledge. It has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are just skills and knowledge. Allah told him, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. Allahu Akbar. He said, what is he talking about? Didn't he know that Allah destroyed the people that came before him, those who were far greater than him in terms of strength and power, and also in terms of nadi, or some scholars said in terms of wealth. SubhanAllah. I always try to imagine how much those people have then. If Qarun's wealth, you cannot imagine how much he has, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk about the amount of the wealth. He talked about the mafatih, the keys to those places where he, the storage where he puts the money. Boxes, storage, whatever. Allah talks about the key, the amount of the key. You need a huge amount of people to carry them. So, if this is the case, then if you take this interpretation that before him there used to be those who were richer than him, and they're gone, how much those guys have? So that's the beauty of Islam. Whatever you're doing in this life, there is an example that passed, which Allah wants you to go and study and see that example. What exactly happened to that guy who was behaving like what you're doing now? Then you should use the aql that Allah wants to give you to trace that which could possibly happen to you if you take the same manhaj of that person. Because this life is based on a system. Yeah, you do this, the result is this. You stay away from this, the result is this. Yeah. وَمَا رَبَّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when Qarun started becoming arrogant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقَدِرُ لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy him, he and his wealth, so that nobody will say that, yeah, he was destroyed and then the wealth is going to be taken. Allah doesn't need him and his wealth, doesn't need anyone. And his wealth gone. And then those people, because in the community, people are divided into two categories. Some who are wishing to have that which Qarun has, and others who want to maintain their behavior and good attitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first category who are wishing to have that Qarun, they regret it. You know, they were so happy that they don't get what he has. You know? So be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't get deceived by what you have. Allah can take it within the blink of an eye. Yeah, we have seen people who are so rich and now they don't have anything. Ewallah. They are so rich, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken everything from them. And you have seen people who are rich and they remain rich, the physical one. But you can trace from their face that these people are not living at ease. What is the point of the richness then? They're not living at ease. The amount of the fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in their heart, lack of satisfaction, and always stressed and depressed. And they don't have that much of security in the place where they're living in. What is the point of having that wealth then? Whereby you have a person in a village or in the city living a normal life, but always happy. Yeah, always happy. So be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings upon you, because this is the only way for you to tie this risk and these blessings to bring them back again. Allah says, La in shakartum, la azidannakum. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ وَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The more thankful you are, the more righteous you are, the more you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will give you the good one, the one that will help you to fix yourself and to come closer to Him. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَهُ اسْتَغَنَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجَى. Everyone is going to be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. You know, you do whatever you want to do in this life. Al-marja ilallah, al-masiru ilallahi azza wa jal. Nobody will escape this. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that first hadith that I have quoted, he said, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعَ. You do whatever you want to do. Allah will not send angels to force you to do what you don't want to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. You're going to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and face a heavy hisab. Hisab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is daqiq. You Allah, daqiq, jiddan. Far beyond what you can expect. Nothing is going to be missed. Every single dot in your life is counted and documented properly. Everything. Yeah, everything. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. No activities, no actions, no thinking, no thoughts. Whatever you're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Although you will not be held of your accountability of your thoughts, you know, except those activities that you do based on those thoughts. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you responsible. But any action, any statement that comes from you, any movement, this is perfectly documented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows it. Wallahu azza wa jalla la yadhillu wa la yansa. Yeah, you forget many things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forget. Yeah, forgetfulness is deficiency. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deficiency is not attributed to Him in any form. So that's why you will not make mistake. Allah doesn't make mistake, and Allah doesn't forget. So we have to be very careful. We do the right thing, because there is a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us for hisab. Right? So make sure that you put yourself among those people who will be using the shortcut. Sallah an yaj'alani wa iyyakum minhum. Iwallah. Because it's going to be fadhiha. Fadhiha. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to invite any one of us, ala ru'usil khala'i, in the presence of everyone, you know, human beings, jinn, shayateen, and animals, and angels, and everyone. In front of them, a person is going to read his book, Iqra, Kitabaka kafa bi nafsika al-yawma, alayka hasiba. Allah is to talk to you in front of everyone and expose what a person is doing. Wallahi, this is going to be tragedy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salam al-afiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and put us among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal their affairs on the day of judgment. Allah says, yawma tubla as-saraya. Yeah. Nobody wants his affairs to be exposed. Even in this dunya, If your affairs are exposed in this dunya, how many people will know about them? A few. In the akhirah, everyone will know about them. But there are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal their affairs on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ramadan, the last part of Ramadan, then he asked somebody to wake up the sisters at home, telling them to wake up and pray. He would tell them what? رُبَّ كَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَارِيَةٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ You Allah. وَبَدَى لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ That's why the Salaf al-Saleh, you know, these type of things stop them from sleeping. Yeah, they do everything possible to make sure that Allah is pleased. But at the same time, they have the level of fear of not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ These are the people, when they do things, they still have the fear of this action being rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hear from time to time about those Salaf al-Saleh, one of them will be saying that I wish I can know that there is one good deed that Allah accepted in my life. SubhanAllah. You say, I wish I have access to know that amongst all of the deeds I'm doing, there is one that Allah accepted. So it's enough for me to have some hope when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them, when he was about to die and he cried a lot, and they asked him, why are you crying? He says, it's not because of my sin. لَذْنُوبِ أَهْوَنْ مِنْ هَذَا There was a small stick, you know, he raised them up. He says to me, the sins that I have committed, I see them, lesser than this. But he is just afraid of the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُنُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ They go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they see that which they don't expect. So how to pass this test? Just try and make sure that whatever you are doing, you're doing it upon the sunnah of Rasulullah. Wallahi, this is the only way out we have. You don't pay attention to all of these and get scared, which might distract you from being productive, but pay more attention on what you are required to do. And that is only one way to get it, which is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's as simple as this. According to the interpretation given to us by the first three best generation, right? These are the generation of the companions, Tabi'un, Atba'ut Tabi'in. What they understood to be the religion of Allah is the religion of Allah. Wallah, it is a joke if we think that our approach in religion is even similar to them. Yeah, I'm saying this because there are some people who will say, Tariqatu as-salaf ahkam, wa tariqatuna a'lam. A'udhu billah. They used to say that the path of the salaf, you know, aslam. وَطَرِيقَتُنَا أَحْكَمُ وَأَعْلَمُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْمَقُولَةِ Some people used to say that if you look at the predecessors, their path is more safer. But if you're looking for knowledge, our path is more knowledgeable and more accurate. وَاللَّهِ هَذَا كَذِبْ Yeah. أَقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ This is a lie. It's a lie. Their method is more knowledgeable, and there is no actually room of comparison between theirs and ours. And more accurate and safer. Yeah. مَنْ كَانَ مُسْتَنَّا فَلِيَسْتَنَّ بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُعْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْرِ This is absolutely true. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to say to his companions, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْعَتِيقِ Atiq means that which is the old one taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hanafi has a very nice statement in his Muqaddimah when he was making commentary of the Tahawiyyah. For those of you who were born at that time when we are studying and did not forget. Because in this class of ours, you just go here and go out from here. Sometimes. You know, in the first part of his book, he talks about this issue. And the reason why actually we have a lot of statements of the scholars concerning the matter of Aqidah. You know, I always say that Aqidah, if we're going to teach Aqidah, you can teach Aqidah in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Yeah, you can summarize the whole thing that is necessary for a person to understand in a few minutes. But how come we have books? You know, go to the library, see these books of Aqidah. This one talking about this, this one's talking about that. A lot. So Al-Hanafi was talking about the reason why this huge compilation of information took place. He says because after the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those best generation or gone, people don't agree to follow the same path. They kept on innovating. كُلَّمَا أَحْدَثُوا بِدَعْ أَحْدَثَ الْعُلَمَاءُ لَهَا جَوَابًا. Whenever they introduce something new, the scholars will come and they have to answer this. Tomorrow also they bring something new. You know, shaitan doesn't get rest, you know, day and night busy, you know. But the scholars, this is their job. They have to provide answer to this so that the society and the community will be preserved. He said, that's the reason why you find huge amount of compilation and collections of books concerning the matter. Otherwise, what Allah SWT needs from us is very simple, because these are the keys to success. The most important matters that a person needs to know, they are the matters of the Aqidah. Because this is the only thing, when you lose them, a person might go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. If you lose some part of the mu'amalat and ibadat, you don't do them correctly, as long as you believe that this is part of the religion of Allah. Even if Allah did not forgive, Allah does not forgive a person if he goes to hell, is he going to stay there forever? No. But matters of aqidah, if a person lost his iman, it can cause the person to live in hell forever. So Al-Hanafi said, he says, Wallahi, he says, Mamtaz al-Akhirun al-Awwali. He says the contemporary people, you know, he said, did not supersede the previous nation except in one thing. What is that? Kathrat al-Kalam, talking too much. And he will lie, it's true. He says the only thing that he can say, yeah, we supersede them, is talking too much. He says, بَيْنَمَا كَانَ الْقَوْمُ, he's referring to the Salaf al-Saleh, they were busy collecting the principles, you know, and the maxims, you know. It's a very simple statement which can help a person to address every single matter of the Sharia. That's why their statements are very little, very simple. Very simple. Go and take the kalam of the Salaf concerning the Asma'ullahi wa Sifati and the Aqidah in general. Trust me, my dear brothers, sisters, is very little. It's very little. A lot of repetition, but the same thing. They talk about principles. And he said, at the same time, we're busy with silly things and insignificant details. And this is what we call scholarship nowadays. The more you talk, the more. You know, I heard somebody who, most of the time when you hear him making tafsir, he will be wrong in his approach in the tafsir. But then somebody, I was there when I hear somebody saying that this is super scholar. I was like, what is he talking about? He, wallah, whenever I hear him talking about some of the things, I feel like I wish I have authority to go and drag him down. But then somebody was calling him super sheikh. My question is, if I don't have the knowledge myself, I am very layman in the community, how do I know that this person is a great scholar? You know, I'm going to base my judgment on how much he talks and the jokes and the details he's giving me. Right, wrong, how do I know? You can see the nature of the ummah, right? Yeah. The common people, they are the one who will say, yeah, this one is that. In the past, who tells us this person is a reliable scholars? But nowadays, we are the one who are doing. Because everyone nowadays is sheikh? No, mufti. Not just sheikh, the name of iftar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salamat wa al-afiyah. So let's go back to we digressed a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ila rabbika ruja. So everyone should remember that we will be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. And as I said, I was trying to reach that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said to Aisha, man nuqish al-hisaba, uzzib. He says, if Allah is to do the reckoning, the hisab for you, you will be punished. If the hisab is going to be conducted on you, the hisab, you will really definitely be in trouble. So Aisha said, but Ya Rasulullah, I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran saying, فَسَوْبَ يُحَاسَبَ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. You are saying if the hisab is conducted, a person will be in trouble. But here Allah says, this person will be receiving an easy hisab. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكِ الْأَرْضِ. He says, that is al-ard. Al-Ard is that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in Sahih al-Bukhari, when he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yudni al-mu'min fayaj'aluhu fi kanafihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the believer closer to him, and he put him inside his kanaf, that's hijab. You know, subhanallah, in the way nobody can see him. You see, the opposite of tubula, as-sarai. Those people, their affairs have been exposed to everyone, and this one's affairs is closed and concealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover him in the way nobody knows what is going on between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him about his mistakes. Why did you do this? Until they do this and that. Why? After a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to think that, khalas, he will be in trouble. Because everything that is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his mistakes. Your mistake, you did. And then after everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, satartuka. I was the one who concealed all of these in the dunya. Nobody knows them. Yeah, that's why try your best not to commit sin. And in case it happens, do not share with others. You know, some people, they think it's so fancy when they accept Islam or they become righteous, they come to the YouTube or Facebook and they will start talking about their past. He used to be a gangster. He used to be doing this and that. All of these are wrong practices, you know. You should come and share with the people how much good happens to you after you convert to Islam. Forget about that old life, you know. You don't want to know about this. But talk about how much, you know, benefit and blessings you got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after accepting Islam, after the righteousness. How much ease you have in your heart. This is what people want to know. This is what people need to know. And akhsha ala hadha rajul. For him to be among those people who are exposing what they used to do. And in Islam, this is wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every single person can possibly get into the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except one, al-mujahir, the one who commits sin in secret and come and tell people, I did this and that last time. Whether he repented or he doesn't repent, he shouldn't tell people. And it's not actually good for him. Because whenever people see him, they remember what was what used to happen. And trust me, the level of the trust they will be having on him will be very low. Although he accepted Islam, although he's a righteous person now, bi-iznillah azza wa jalla, but people will not trust him that much. So you're not doing a favor to yourself. You're not doing any good to yourself. The best is to listen and to adhere to the nusus of the Sharia. Share good with others about yourself. Yeah, when somebody asks you, when you are this and that, are you among those this and that? You Allah, the best answer to tell him is none of your business. Share with me your story first. Ask him to share with you his story, all of the evil things he has done from the time he became matured. He will not do. Yeah, and then tell him, why do you want me to share something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed from your eyes? What do you want to know? What are you going to benefit me with it? So that he will not ask again. So you see, this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, I conceal your affairs in the dunya. Yeah. Get it? Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not expose a person when he commits sin. That person shouldn't expose himself to the community. He should try his best and repent and stay away from that sin, but shouldn't tell anyone that he committed sin, so and so and so. This is really bad. Allah doesn't like it. And it might reflect negatively, you know, against this person on the day of judgment. You see this one? Allah said, I close your affairs, I conceal your affairs in the dunya, wa ana aghfiru halak al-yawm. And today I will forgive all of those things for you. And then Allah will ask angels to take him to paradise. Good idea. So try your best to make sure that you are among these people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'alani wa iyyakum minhum. Qala ara'aita alladhi yanha 'abdan idha salla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that person who has nothing to do except to stop a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from praying in the masajid, or from praying completely. The main scholars said this is in reference to the attitude and the behavior of Abu Jahl. You know, he told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he threatened the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a lot. And they do everything, you know, possible to distract the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, including the evil, the most evil one they did, when they brought the Salah al-Jazur, the filthy things they have taken out of the camel with the blood and everything. And they asked somebody to go and put on the back of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was making sujood. SubhanAllah. And who was he worshipping? Allah, Rabbul Alameen. The Quraysh. Do they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and is a most superior? Yes. Yes, they have this. Their problem is that they associate partner with Allah. And they know that Rasulullah is worshipping Allah, not something else which is different from what they should be worshipping. But SubhanAllah, since they lost respect, you know, they're ready if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not willing to stop, you know, going against their adiha to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at the same time, they went and they put that thing. And nobody was able, because at that time the Muslims were told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay away from resisting and fighting back. So they couldn't do anything. They just see it and cry, because nobody can see that moment and relax. No. They cry. Until the time his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha knew about the case, somebody told her, she went and she removed it. They did not touch her. Why? Out of respect? No. They have no respect to the sisters in those days. But it is deficiency for a person to fight a woman. That will be inside his history, biography, that he was once caught fighting a woman. That's why a sister can come and do these things, they cannot fight her just like that. So they just have to watch. So she did, she cried. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua against them. Yeah, raise up his hand right after that prayer. Allahumma alayka bi fulan. Allahumma alayka bi fulan. All of those ones that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the companion said, we saw them sar'a fi ma'rakat Badr. Allah got them, all of them. That dua reached them, and they know it is going to come. Because they went quickly to him and tell him, Ya Muhammad, we did not know you to be somebody like that. And subhanAllah, they deserve what happens. So they disturbed the Musallim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is number one. They disturbed, you know, when he prays, he used to stop him from approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Araita in kana ala al-huda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting the scenario. How serious is the matter? What do you think if this person is who is approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's doing the right thing and Allah is with him? Aw amara bittaqwa. He's commanding people to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do the right thing. Ara'aita in kadhaba wa tawalla. What do you think about that person who doesn't want to heed this message, who doesn't want to listen? Now we are talking about Abu Jahl. The first one is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believer. And the second one is Abu Jahl, or anyone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. He says, Ara'aita in kadhaba wa tawalla. He denies and he turns away from the reminders. Doesn't want to take any advice. Doesn't want to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Don't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't he know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees whatever he does? SubhanAllah. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Ew Allah. The sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our comprehension. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he sees everything. There is nothing that can escape the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, wa indahu مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Hey, والله, these two ayahs really need our attention. you know, because it helps a person to increase his iman in Allah and also to increase his muraqabah. Yeah, if somebody thinks that that is a place he can go to hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, this is beyond the realm of jokes. To think that that is a place where you can go where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you, or that I cannot see you, or that is a circumstance where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what you're doing, that's a joke. Actually, beyond the realm of jokes. Allah says, the keys to the unseen in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, يَعْلَمَ مَا فِي الْبَرْدِ وَالْبَحْرِ. What is on the land? Allah knows it. And what is in the sea? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. What left? Because we have either the land or the sea. Allah says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Any leaf that is falling from the tree, Allah knows that leaf. Where is it located? Why is it falling down? And where is it going to fall down? Why is it falling down? And how is it going to fall down? When is it going to fall down? Every single detail about that leaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And then he says, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. One of our scholars said, just like you have a habba, you know, a grain, small grain, you know, and you go under the ocean and you dig a hole as much as you can, put it down there and cover it with the earth. So it is under the dungeons of the earth, you know. And then on top of it, you have the sea. And you know, see, the deeper you go, the darker the place is. Yeah. So dhulumatun ba'daha fawqa ba'dha, on top you have the bubbles also. And let's say this is the night, the darkness of the night. Let's say it is a rainy and a cloudy day, the darkness of the cloud, the darkness of the rain, you know. This seed that is there, it's just like something that is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, right? وَلَا رَطَبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There is nothing wet or dry except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just know it, but it is documented properly in the Lawhul Mahfuz. SubhanAllah. In the last part of Surah to At-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created seven heavens and from the earth, مِثْلَهُنَّ. مِثْلَهُنَّ, the scholar said, أي فِي الْعَدَدِ, not in terms of nature. You know, in terms of number, they have seven also layers of earth. How is it? Wallahu alam. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ. The affair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming between the heavens and the earth. Allah said, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and ability to do everything He wants to do. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَىٰ كَلَّا لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. SubhanAllah. And science is saying that amongst the faculties in the brain, the part that is concerned with lying, you know, it comes from this part. That's what the scientists, you know, Quran says, كَلَّا لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ أَيْ لَنَأْخُذَنَّ بِالنَّاصِيَةِ. If he doesn't stop what he's doing, that's Abu Jahl, it doesn't stop what he's doing, the threat he's sending to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are going to hold him from this side. And you know, even when you want to control things, let's say, أَخَذَ بِنَاصِيَتِ. When you hold this part, then the person, what can he do? Nothing. Allah described this nasiya. He said, نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. He said, the nasiya, you know, that is kadiba. Kadiba means the one which lies. Khati'ah, the one which always makes mistakes. That's Quran. It's not a book of science, but it is the only book that can give you the most accurate information about science. Not a book of history. It is the only book that can give you the most accurate fact of history, that you cannot find something that is contrary to it. not a book of this and that. But whatever you talk about, you know, Quran is not meant for that except one thing, which is what? Guidance. Allah says, Hudan lil muttaqin is a guidance. It can guide you to the best way to reach your goals in the best way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Nasiyatin kadhibatin khati'ah. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَا كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, replying Abu Jahl, when he was threatening Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was telling him, أَتُهَدِّدُنِي, you know, he says, there is nobody in this wadi who has more crowds than me. You make a single movement, I am going to invite my crowd, my club, you know. He has whatever he has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا. Let him invite his clouds. You know. Subhanallah. He says, سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَا. الزَّبَانِيَا, الزَّبَن, is from the dafa. Bagawi says is from dafa. It means those one, they catch a person and push him, whether he likes it or he doesn't like it, he cannot resist. And even the name also, when you look at the name Zabaniya, you know, it doesn't sound yani, simple, an easy name. Allah says, let him bring his crowd. We will let him meet the Zabaniya. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tuti'hu, don't you ever pay attention to him. Don't you ever obey him. Don't you ever pay attention to him. Just focus on that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to focus on, and keep moving forward. Don't worry about him. We take care of him. And subhanAllah, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated him. Who killed him? Muslimun? Yeah, Muslimun, but that statement, you know, if you say Muslimun, somebody will think that Khalid bin Walid get rid of him, or Umar radiallahu anhu. I want the most accurate information that shows humiliation. Who killed him? Yeah, kids. Kids killed Abu Jahl. All of these arrogant finish at the hand of what? Kids. Abdurrahman bin Auf said, during the battle of Badr, you know, because everyone wants to see that the one who is next to him is strong person. Yeah. So that if you need help, this guy can help you, you know. He said, I look at my right side, I saw a young boy. I look at the left also, I saw another young boy. He said, I was like, now it's not about me trying to protect myself, and also I have to work to protect these kids, you know, to make sure that they're not harmed. That means his job now is double, to protect himself and to protect the kids. And then he said, while I was just waiting, thinking of how to deal with this matter, because it is not going to be an easy job. One of them just hit me like this. And so I put my head to him. He said, uncle, he said, who is Abu Jahl? He was talking in secret, you know. He said, who is Abu Jahl? He said, I said, Abu Jahl? He said, why are you asking about him? And that little tiny boy, you know, when I say little tiny boy, it is not a kid, you know, those newly matured people, you get it? Like you can say 14, 15 kind of people. So when he pushed me like this and he talked to me in secret, he says, uncle, who is Abu Jahl? I was shocked that this young boy is asking about Abu Jahl. Does he know who Abu Jahl is? So he said, I asked him, what do you want with Abu Jahl? He said, I heard that he was number one in disturbing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, wallahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let me see him, one of us has to die. Abdurrahman bin Auf said, I started to think that no, I'm not living with kids, I'm living with lions actually. And then after this one finished, the other one also hit me. He also asked me about the same thing. And I told him. He says, after the battle, you know, started, and suddenly Abu Jahl appears, protected by, you know, his bodyguards and all of this. I told them, children, this is the one that you're looking for. He said they flew like a rocket. They don't even care about who is surrounding him and who is not, you know. And you know, since they are younger people, people might not pay attention to them, right? And they went, they brought him down from the from his horse. Subhanallah, they killed him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud completed the job. But even if Abdullah ibn Mas'ud did not come, he is going to go. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being proud of getting rid of Abu Jahl. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qatala qatilan lahu alayhi bayyina falahu salabu." If you can prove that you are the one who killed this enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the battlefield, you have the salab of this enemy. What is the salab? The property of that enemy that he brought to the battle, his armor, his sword, and if there is even money, whatever you can find with him, as an intensive, you know, incentive given to you by the Muslim leader. So they went, each and every one of them was saying, "I'm the one who killed him." The Prophet said, "Bring your sword, let's see." He sees one of the swords, it is deeper inside. He say, "Yeah, you are the one who did the final job. But both of you did it, but you are the one who most probably killed him." So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated him in this dunya. قبل الأخرة. And he was so arrogant, even at that moment when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went on top of him. He looked at him. He says, لَقَدْ إِرْتَعَتَ مَرْتَعًا صَعْبًا يَا رُوَئِيَ الْغَنَمِ. Even at that moment, he was so arrogant. He was saying to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, "You're really grazing in a very harsh and difficult area." Meaning, you are the one who is riding on top of me. And he's about to die. Allah says, لا تطعه. Don't worry about him. Don't pay attention to him. We take care of him. And in this, also I remind myself and everyone that as long as you are doing the right thing, Allah, don't worry about anyone. Just keep on doing. And don't you ever let somebody distract you from this. Yeah. And be very careful. You Allah, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single moment in your life. If Allah withdraw his support from you, you are in trouble. So don't compromise this good relationship. You get it? Don't please people in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with you. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if nobody is happy, Allah promised to take care of people. I guess this is really excellent because you need Allah to be between you and human beings in this life. You know the kind of mentality we're dealing with. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be involved in your affairs. Wasjudu waqtarib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to always make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sujood is the closest moment where a person is to Allah. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَأَكْثِرُوا الدُّعَاءِ. The closest moment you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you make sujood. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the best place for you to place your request. He says, أَمَّا السُّجُودُ فَاجْتَهِدُ فِي الدُّعَى فَقَمِنٌ أَن يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. As for the sujood, he says, put every effort and energy in making dua because definitely Allah will accept your invocation. إِذِنْ اللَّهِ عَزَّ الزُّوَجِ. So that's the end of this surah. Inshallah, I see you in the next class with the next surah, Surah Al-Qadr. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with all of us. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Nobody asked, right?
It was from the previous class.
Ah, okay.
So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
So there is a question by a sister. Can any dua be made in Arabic in the sujood of fard salah?
Yes, dua, you can make any dua in Arabic. Whatever you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can ask. That's the best opinion, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, to ask everything you want. Yeah, it's good if you can choose from those adiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do them. But there is nothing saying from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are not allowed to ask whatever you want. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us to do ijtihad in the dua. without restricting it to any specific one. Yeah, as long as you follow the Sharia, you don't exaggerate, you don't go beyond the limit in your dua, and you don't ask for something which Allah asks you not to ask for it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is fine. Yeah, to do it in Arabic language.
So, Sheikh, in another language, is it okay if you make dua?
I just answer that.
Okay.
In the prayers, a person should restrict himself to the Arabic language.
Okay. Sheikh, if we know how to make any dua in Arabic, is it best to make it in Arabic and not in the language that you have?
Yes. It is always better to use the Arabic language. But if you don't know the Arabic language, it is better to use your language. Yeah. That's why even the Arabic language, the scholar said, you shouldn't go for Fusha if you cannot speak that one. Because sometimes you try to speak the standard Arabic language, you make a lot of mistakes, funny mistakes. Yeah. Sheikh Hussam Mitimia says you should approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way he understands what he's saying. Allah knows what he's talking about.
Sheikh, question by Abu Bakr. Sheikh, what is the sunnah of the groom on the morning of his nikah?
I hope, inshallah, Abu Bakr, the time for your marriage is closer. Inshallah, don't forget to invite us for the walima, inshallah. That is the sunnah for the groom, right? In the
morning of
the nikah. Morning, people are thinking of morning or night.
I think he is referring to night, but...
Okay, anyway. Groom is the brother, right? Yeah. That's a scary name. One is bride and the other one groom. Yeah. The sunnah is to observe that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us to do. And also our scholars emphasize on it. It's recommended that a person, when he meets his wife, the first time they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he put his hand, Ramadan, I'm going to charge you for this. And he put his hand on her head and say, Bismillah. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra ma jabalta, khayraha wa khayra ma jabaltaha alayhi. A'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma jabaltaha alayhi. If she knows Arabic language, maybe it's good for him to do it in secret. Yeah, she shouldn't worry about that because there is no disrespect in it. He also has. Do you get the idea? He also has. But because the center, you know, in the successive marriage is the woman in the house. Trust me. If a woman is smart and she's righteous, she fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, marriage will succeed. Because she has the ability and the power to put that marriage in the good and a better condition. Yeah. If she doesn't do this and she becomes so arrogant and think negatively rather than being positive, then things are going to go in the wrong direction. So he should put his hand and ask for this. And so generally he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring good to that marriage. Whatever good the wife is bringing me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us see this good. And if there is any evil, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from this evil, whether from him or from both of them. And then after that, it's just up to them to do whatever they want to do, which is halal. And I will suggest what I always suggest, that is good if possible to discuss, in a few minutes, something which is very important about themselves. What do you want, what you don't want? Yeah, if that is possible, to have this kind of simple discussion among them. If he can't be patient, and she also cannot be patient, they want to go ahead do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it halal for them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he shouldn't forget to mention the name of Allah and say, Allahumma jannibna shaytana wa jannib shaytana ma razaqtana. Yeah, Allah protect us from shaytan and take away shaytan from anything that you give us through this process and thing we are doing. Yeah. He should do this. This is really important. The Prophet said, if Allah give them the child, even Allah Azza wa Jalla, shaitan will not distract him. Yeah, so a person shouldn't forget this. Yeah, it's very crucial. Shouldn't forget. That's why his consciousness should be there. And also, one last thing, the scholars reminded us that if the family, the wife is not ready for that in that moment, it's good for him to wait. Yeah, it's good for him to wait. You get it? It's good for him to wait. It's very important because any injury of the heart that is caused at that night, most likely the wife will never forget it. And it will keep on reflecting negatively in the marriage from time to time. Yeah, that's why waiting and also sending all kinds of messages and messengers are supposed to be there so that life will be easier. So these are some of the things I can reflect upon, you know, from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After that, then the walima. Walima is better to do it after the marriage, after the consummation of the marriage, after the dukhul. When somebody has relationship with the spouse, then he goes out and do the walima. Get the idea? So that's why those cultural practices that we have in this life, whereby some people, they marry, but they're not married. Many, many, many cultures, he married, but he's not married. Yeah, because they have the marriage, they have all the things, you know, but then the real meeting with the wife takes place after 1 year. Yeah, a couple of my students, you know, subhanAllah, married, and they call me, congratulations, how come we did not go to the walima? Alhamdulillah, I did not go, you know. Because it would be so sad to go to that walima and finish everything, and the man is still in the way he is. You Allah, I still remember one of my students, I used to have doubt. He used to tell me, I don't know whether I'm married or not. You know? Yeah, it takes very long before the family agree with them to come and meet. So where do you have the marriage at the first place then? And some of them in their culture, the marriage will take place, you know, I take, you know, ala maharin qadruhu kada wa kada. They finish everything and they go for simple walima, and then he cannot meet his wife until after 1 year or certain period of time. The person has to be a gangster. Yeah, you will lie. I heard one of the most beautiful stories that I heard, and this is a brother that they did this to him. He realized that these people are not willing to let him see his wife. So he went to the place where the event is taking place. He told them, is it possible for me to speak to her? They said, yeah, this is your wife. But what do you mean this is his wife? But they never let him meet his wife, you know. So he took the wife. You know, subhanAllah, he said, inshallah, I will just speak to her. And then he sent them a message after that. He told them, I wish you all the best in your event. As for me and my wife, we have other issues. They never see them again. You Allah, this is good. I praise that person. Although I said, why? He married, he pays everything. And the wife, Miskina, is there. She wants those events and those things that people are doing. He also is thinking about that. Yeah. So all of these practices are wrong. When the marriage happens, if it is not necessary, you know, dukhul should take place immediately. And then right after that, the person should go for the walima. You get the idea? The person should go for the walima. It's an appreciation to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for him. So I hope this answer, Abu Bakr, to you is not going to go haba and mansura. I hope, inshallah, I'm giving it at the time you already married, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Or else don't ask again this question. Yeah? Yes, Abdul Rahman.
Nami, Sheikh. Question by Brother Irfan. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I have a question regarding the tarbiyah of children. As we have mentioned before, that it's better to start sending them to school at the age of 6 or after that. However, is it okay that after that, for them to go to school nowadays is still likely not a very good thing because there is free mixing and whatnot? Regardless whether the school is Islamic or conventional. So what would you suggest in this case? And if it's okay to ask, what do you do with your own children so that we can take an example of that?
Why does he ask me this question? Anyway, so he was right. Absolutely, this is one of the things we are suffering from, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finding a good place for the education of your kids. It's not easy. And that's why I suggest if the wife is serious and she has the ability to pass the knowledge, whatever the kids need, Homeschooling is excellent because nowadays, I guess, the system is opening for this also. And we have very big community now of the homeschoolers, you know, people who are not letting their kids to go to school because of what is going on in the environment. But that's the condition is the wife can do the job. The wife can do the job because the problem we're facing is she might say yes, but then it might be a jabha for the battle between her and the husband because of negligence from time to time. So they should think properly. If they can bring somebody to teach, or they can take the kids to somebody who has good manners. Because there are people who teach nicely, but unfortunately, sending your kids to them is dangerous. Yeah, because they don't have good behaviors, or there are a lot of haram in their territories. Get it? So it's you're running away from the schools, and you're taking them to something that is worse. Yeah, why do I say it's worse? Because now they are learning from this individual, and they're taking the bad behavior directly from him. In the school is scattered here, 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 and there. Your kids might be able to resist, but if you have one one-on-one contact, you know, this is very dangerous. That person might be able to convince them to change their values, and they will come become qumbala at home against you and your values. So, Sheikh Irfan, my advice is. For a person who is looking for this, check with the wife first what kind of capacity she has. If he can, she can do and he can do, both of them. He has the capacity to do, she has the capacity to do. You know, they can teach the kids. This is better for them even after the age of 6. If not, they should look for school. And my children go to school. I took them out of a school. SubhanAllah, the last one who get inside the school, you know, and this school, although free of charge, you know, I don't need to pay, but I took them out of it. The last, the time when I know that one of them did something that is against the discipline, wallahi, aqsimu billah, that was the last time they stepped on that school up to date. Yeah, because I don't want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this, responsibility. My daughter coming to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, he was the one who did not tell me. Yeah. I kicked them out of it. They have to stay at home for a year, or more than a year, I guess. Yeah, no studying. Until the time I found a place where I can trust somehow. They have a school here in... Yeah, they have their own issues. But they have total separation. You know, even in the event is different, is made differently. You know, the break is different. The only time you can say they meet with proper supervision also is the home time. Because they have the same compound, but class is different. Break time is different. Eating time is different. Trip also is different. These people will go today, the next week, the other one will go. If the brothers are to this week, the sisters will go next week. If the brothers are going this direction, the sister will go to the other direction. So that's the least. They have, they are human beings. They have things also which I don't agree. But as far as this matter of tarbiyah is concerned, you know, because in the past when I first joined them, they even have a person whose job is just to sit in the school and go around. He's not doing anything. He doesn't teach. Only now they gave him some subject to teach. But before, I know this person, his job is just to go around the school to make sure that the discipline in the school is perfectly, you know, addressed. So I enjoy, and the kids learned a lot. And I don't see anything that will provoke me to take them out of the school up to this date, but trust me, wallahi, if today I will see something which can provoke, I don't mind my kids to stay at home with no education of that kind, even if this is going to be continuous forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make this life in the way you cannot survive unless if you study. It's good to study. It's a favor. It's a blessing, inshallah, to educate yourself. But if this education is going to take and cause you to compromise any part of your religion and the tarbiyah of your children, what do you want from that then? What do you want from that? You're not here to stay. And then at the end of the day, how many people graduate from the schools and they were stranded, jobless? How many? A lot. a lot. Because no government, to my knowledge, I don't know, but no government can provide job for every single citizen in the country. No government can do that, because they don't have enough money to pay for the salaries for everyone. So you're going to have people who are suffering from this batala, you know, lack of a job. And also, if you're looking for richness, is it the way to get rich? No. Give me one person on earth, the one that you can point with your finger and say, yeah, this person is a rich person, who became rich because of the certificate he got from the university. I'm not saying this is useless. No, it's not useless. It's a favor and it's a virtue. And it's also a big respect for a person to have that kind of knowledge. And it's a deficiency for a person not to have it. But at the same time, we shouldn't tie it with success in life. No, it is not connected to the success in life at all. So my simple answer, Sheikh Irfan, is look into the situation in this way. If you can find a school that you can trust, because there are a few of them, I think, who are doing well, the right thing, and let them go to the school and meet with others. And inshallah, keep opening your eyes. Yeah, I have classes with my kids. I don't let anyone to take my kids to the school unless if it is necessary. I try my best, no matter what, to go and bring them, because I need that time when I take them to the school. We discuss matters. Sometimes we revise on the way. It's just 30 minutes, but it's enough to have a heavy discussion. I discover a lot of deficiency I have in educating my children through that, simple journey that I have with them. We don't keep quiet. Usually, we talk. Somebody cannot do this for me. And also, if I let them go to the buses, I know what the buses means. How much indiscipline you have in those places. So all of these things, if you can do that, be it in life as well, I think it's okay. It's good for the kids to go outside and mix with others, rather than staying home and study in the house from you and your wife. If not, then homeschooling is the best. If you cannot do and you cannot find somebody to teach them, it's better for you to just focus on the religious matters. Yeah, until the time you find a conducive environment to send them to, inshallah. May Allah grant us good. Finish.
Just a confirmation or a clarification about the dua and the sujood. If you make it in Arabic, is it just like for fard? Or also
both prayers. Ma thabata fil fardi thabata fil nafli. Whatever is applicable in the fard prayer is also applicable in the sunnah prayer, unless if you have evidence that says one of them is different. If not, then you have to observe the same thing. I advise a person to stay away from using any other language in the sunnah prayers. Although it is less sensitive than the wajib prayers, but you know, a Muslim that is not new convert, advise him to stay away from using any language. Finish the prayer and then raise up your hand after the sunnah prayer and make dua. That's it. Okay, thank you very much. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.